from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out about a new exhibit at the Rhythm Discovery Center featuring a local drum maker from 100 years ago.
I'll get a preview of the Bob Directs production of Spamalot.
And I'll chat with Ben Schein from the Indianapolis Arts Center about this weekend's Broad Ripple Art Fair. And we also get a little bluegrass music treat. Plus, there'll be our arts calendar events we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. From 1895 until 1930, the largest drum manufacturer in the world was based here in Indianapolis. The history of the Leedy Drum Company is explored in a new exhibit at the Rhythm Discovery Center located in downtown Indy. Travis DiNicola spoke with Matthew Altizer from the center to find out more.
Matthew, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Absolutely. So this is a really cool exhibit, and I love that it's connecting with a local company with local history. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before we get to that, Rhythm Discovery Center is such a cool place, and it's such a neat experience. And I know that there's still some people out there that are like, what is it? Where is it? So tell me a bit about it.
Yeah, definitely. Rhythm Discovery Center is a great interactive museum right downtown on the corner of Illinois and Washington. If you know where the Arts Garden is, which
sure.
everyone does, we're located right underneath the Arts Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great museum that really delves into the history of percussion and how percussion has been used not only in America for music, but, you know, other cultures and societies, and how it's used for communication and in times of war and, you know, other things like that. You know, it's really kind of one of the first musical instruments and a very universal type instrument, because you can pretty much hit anything and it's a percussion instrument.
So. I mean, is there even like a society without percussion? I can't even imagine.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly don't think there is. We haven't found one yet so
yeah.
far.
So. I mean, it's sort of like it's a universal. So it is a museum, and that part is pretty fantastic. I mean, in terms mm-hmm. of having old percussion instruments on display, all sorts of different physical objects on display, but it's also very interactive too.
It definitely is. It's, you know, you go to some museums and you just kind of stare at things on the wall and read about them. And, you know, we felt when we built the Rhythm Discovery Center, we felt we needed to make it very interactive. So we want you to touch the instruments. We want you to play, you know, a drum set or mm-hmm. a pair of bongos or, you know, whatever, just so you can kind of feel exactly what it's like to be a percussionist. You know, we're hitting all the senses we possibly can. There's a lot of video, obviously a lot of sound. You get to touch things. You know, it's a very interactive. Kids love it. Parents love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we hit pretty much all age groups and haven't really had.
Who doesn't like to bang a drum, right?
I know, it's great.
So, and I've been down there, you know, for events where it's been adults you can tell are just having fun. I've seen kids mm-hmm. down there that obviously just love it. And you guys are open all the time. I mean, it's something that people can stop by and bring their
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, we're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and mm-hmm. Sunday, noon to 5. So usually during the day, during the week, you can find us there. The weekends are great. You know, a lot of parents are always downtown looking for something to do. And,
sure.
You know, it's wonderful just to bring the kids in and let them bang on something.
Very neat. And you also get musicians that come in, too.
We do, yeah. Well, the Rhythm Discovery Center is part of the Percussive Arts Society, which is an international percussion organization. And so our community give back is mm-hmm. the Rhythm Discovery Center. So we have a lot of famous drummers from around the world that are members of PAS. And whenever they stop by Indiana or in Indianapolis for a concert, they usually stop by and check out the center and get to, you know, kind of see some cool people. So that's always a fun thing.
That's pretty neat. Well, and you've been open now for what, 3 years?
Yeah, we opened up fall of 2009.
Okay. So and I mean, during that time, you've had some other exhibits and things, but this new exhibit, the Leedy Drum Company exhibit, Drums from the Circle City, this is pretty cool. I mean, this is kind of unlike, I think, any other big exhibit you guys have done. Is that right?
It is. It's a smaller scale exhibit for us compared to some of the other larger exhibits we've done, but we're really, really excited about this one because it is an Indianapolis history that we're presenting. The Leedy Drum Company, which was actually here in Indianapolis from 1895 to 1930, and at that time was known as the world's largest drum factory. They were originally housed in the Cyclorama building.
Not necessarily making the largest drums, but they were the largest manufacturer of drums.
But they, you know, you say that, and actually they also made the largest drum.
Did they really? Oh,
yeah,
cool.
The Purdue bass drum.
Oh, I was wondering
which is
that.
The world's largest bass drum,
yeah.
Supposedly.
Right.
Is actually a Leedy drum that was manufactured here in Indianapolis.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
So where was the Leedy company located?
Well, it originally started in... the gentleman who started it, Ulysses Leedy, he began in just a one-bedroom apartment with one of his friends, and they built it in there. And then it moved to the Cyclorama building, which I believe was on the northeast corner of the circle. And it was a huge circular building, which actually used to house the Indianapolis Zoo for a little while at that time.
Wow.
And then in 1903, they moved to they built their own factory south of the Fountain Square area on the corner of Palmer and Barth. And that's where they stayed until 1930. And they just continued to expand that location until it was about an 80,000 square foot manufacturing process building.
Wow.
And that building actually still stands at the corner of Palmer and Barth, and it is the Sense Charter School. So it's kind of cool that it's still there, and we've actually gone down to take a look at it. And you know, there's not much, obviously, nothing
sure.
to do with Leedy anymore down there, but you know, the building is still standing, so that's always.
So
nice.
Who would have been the customers of Leedy? I mean, was this for marching bands, military? I mean, they weren't making drum sets necessarily, were they? Or
well, the drum set. Hadn't officially
really been sort of
taken off.
Yet, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was they really made everything. At that time, it was, you know, kind of vaudeville musicians. Vaudeville was very, very popular here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of vaudeville companies and a lot of touring vaudevillians as well. And so the musicians, a lot of those musicians would play on Leedy instruments. And Leedy, not only is it cool that it's, you know, historically based here in Indianapolis, but just in the music industry itself, they had a lot of innovations for the percussion industry. So the modern day snare drum is because of the Leedy Drum Company.
Really?
The Leedy Drum Company invented the vibraphone, which, you know, is hugely popular in jazz these days. So, I mean, there's a lot of these amazing innovations that they did that we kind of dive into a little bit.
But we can trace the snare back to Leedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the modern day snare.
Wow. So what happened to Leedy then?
Well, as his age progressed, he kind of decided that he wanted to get out of the business. And so the company was sold to, I believe it was Ludwig and Ludwig at that time, which was based out of Elkhart, Indiana, which, you know,
and
Elkhart,
Ludwig is
Indiana
still known
is,
as a huge drum manufacturer, and Elkhart's known as sort of this music production.
Yeah, kind of the manufacturing capital of the world for music. So they bought it and moved it up there. Some of the workers that he had for the Leedy Drum Company stayed here in Indianapolis and created a separate drum company that stuck around for a little while and then left as well. So, but yeah, from 1895 to 1930, they were here. All the instruments were built right here in Indianapolis. Everything from the magazines and, you know, everything else that they did, the marketing material was all produced in Indianapolis. They didn't outsource anything at all at that time. So it's a nice history. You know, at that time, Indianapolis was known for manufacturing with all the car companies and, you know, Lilly being here and everything like that. But, you know, it was also important within the music industry as well. So it's nice to bring that history out and really show it to the community.
That's pretty neat. So what type of things do you have on exhibit at Rhythm Discovery as part of this Leedy Drum Company exhibition?
Well, we will have a variety of the snare drums that were built here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm.
So you will have some physical, actual Leedy drums.
Exactly.
That's
great. We'll have some Leedy drums. There's a gentleman, Harry Kangany, who is a drum historian and lives here in Indianapolis. He was, you know, really instrumental on helping us create this exhibit. And so he's loaning some instruments of his to us for this exhibit. So we'll have a variety of snare drums that they built, as well as one of the first vibraphones that was created by Leedy. That'll be on display as well. And some personal material, some of the Leedy granddaughters that are still here in town, they are letting us use some of their personal material from their grandfather. and the Leedy Drum Topics, which was a magazine that Leedy created to, you know, pretty much market their material
sure.
worldwide. We'll have some of those that people can actually leaf through and kind of see what it was like back in, you know, the turn of the century for marketing material.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. That'll be really interesting to see. How do these drums hold up over time? I mean, they were the skins. It was cow skin, right?
Correct.
For the most
yes.
part.
Yeah.
I mean, how do they hold up physically? I mean, can you still play them, or are they pretty fragile?
You can still play them. Generally, most people don't when they get to that age.
Sure.
A lot of the calfskin, you know, has to be replaced. And there are special companies that still do calfskin heads for these type of things.
Yeah.
But I believe everything that we have the original calfskin heads on them. So
Pretty neat. That's very cool. That's going to be a great exhibit to see. And you're going to have that up for basically about a year, right?
Yes, it's opening up at the beginning of May, and which it's already May, hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go through probably late April of 2014. So
very cool.
It'll be a great little exhibit, and you know, in addition to the other two or three exhibits that we have going on right now as well. So
excellent. Excellent. Cool. Well, Matthew, thanks so much for coming into Art of the Matter. It's great to hear about what's going on at Rhythm Discovery Center. I want to make sure you mention one thing. You guys got a pretty big honor from USA Today. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Last year, USA Today announced the Rhythm Discovery Center is one of the top 10 great places in the nation for hands-on music making.
Nice.
So we're really pleased with that. And it's, you know, obviously we're biased, but we think it's true.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Travis DiNicola with Rhythm Discovery Center's Matthew Altizer. You can find out more at rhythmdiscoverycenter.org, rhythmdiscoverycenter.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Director Bob Harbin and his Bob Directs company always look on the bright side of life. No, really. Bob Directs' summer musical offering is Monty Python's Spamalot, lovingly ripped off by the Monty Python troupe member Eric Idle from the 1975 film Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And Sharon Gamble invited Bob Harbin and cast member Clara Wilcher in to learn more.
Okay, so what is the plot of Spamalot? I'm looking at
Spamalot
Bob to explain it all.
Is lovingly taken from the film Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail. So it is. There's a lot of good stuff from the film that's in the musical, but it takes a step away from the film in that it also has a lot of modern references and makes fun of a lot of Broadway musicals from the last, you know, 15, 20 years as well. So it's very much, if you're a fan favorite of Monty Python, you'll recognize characters, you'll recognize plot lines, but then they just go hog wild. Well, Eric Idle goes hog wild with it and just has a whole bunch of fun along the way.
It's hard to imagine somebody listening to an NPR affiliate not having ever seen Monty Python on our sister affiliate, our PBS station. But Claire and Bob, explain Monty Python to people who are not familiar.
Well, go, because you had the young perspective.
Well, Monty Python is obviously it's a British-based comedy troupe, and I always describe Monty Python as just bits. It's just lots of bits and bits and bits and puns. And
sketch comedy.
And then obviously when they went into making the films, when they didn't do Flying Circus anymore, that's right. That was their main sketch comedy that people know. It just kind of was this long form conglomeration of bits, and it's all fun and all games and never stress.
Makes great
because
sense.
The film The Life of Brian, which is roughly based on the life of Christ,
mm-hmm.
one of the songs from the musical, which is Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, comes from that film with Life of Brian, which has been Brian's on the cross, and he's singing, you know, to the other people on crosses, always look, you know, for the bright side of life.
You know, we need to rerun everything Monty Python again, because it's so politically incorrect,
mm-hmm.
and so timely. I mean, the original Monty Python series dates back to the, help me, Bob, 70s?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And yeah. And they were like, I think they five original gents that others that came right. and went, but they were the first to, you know, to all that old Shakespearean thought of guys played women, and but there was absolutely no attempt to make you think he was really. I mean, obviously,
no, he played a woman with his mustache
guys,
and beard, yeah,
and a wig, right. you know, with a, you know, lots of Milton Berle kind of women,
yeah,
and they really didn't care who they offended. And hopefully offended, you know, the more they offended, the funnier they were.
And it's funny that people might know probably the most famous of the group is John Cleese, who a lot of people know from films, from other TV mm-hmm. series, and from work in industrials, of all mm-hmm. things. But, yeah, such a universal appeal, even though the TV programs look dated. I mean, they were shot with 1970 something mm-hmm. cameras.
And the trailers, the movie trailers are just so funny too, yeah. just so low budget and great.
Right, right.
And I hear that when Eric wanted to do this, he wrote to the other guys and said, do you mind if I Aww. Have this adventure? And they weren't all jumping up and think, this is great. Yeah, please do this. Mm-hmm. They were kind of, well, yeah, I guess if you know, if you feel like you have to. So there's a lot of stuff too that I think wouldn't have been there if the guys had been all, you know, excited about it and wanted to help and that sort
sure.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff from the film that makes it, you know, more loyal to fans and stuff, because it's pretty much direct lift.
Hey, the director of the Broadway production was Mike Lee?
Mike Nichols.
Mike Nichols?
Yeah, that Mike Nichols.
The one we associate so much with high
the very
art
one.
Serious.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The very
but,
one.
But has this improv bits sketch long form Nichols and May history. And
well, and he was the one who develop Whoopi Goldberg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he went to see a one woman show that she was doing and just said, oh my goodness, this woman is incredible. She's smart. She's funny. Pulled her from that and developed her you know her first Broadway production, which was also a one woman show.
Wow.
But he produced it and directed it, and so he's got a lot of funny in him.
Yeah. So. Among other things, this production strikes me as a chance to go out and rob all the other theater companies in town of their best people, because, oh my gosh, your cast list. I mean, you just look through there and immediately you think of Phoenix Theater, IRT, Q Artistry, Beef and Board, Civic, what am I missing here? Just people who have worked in so many places. And your attraction to this, Claire, was what?
Well, you know, I'm always a lover of all things Bob Harbin, as as he strikes a pose. So, you know, my draw is initially Bob when he started talking to me about it, and I just wanted to have fun. You know, it's going to be such a fun production. And then when he told me who he's got for the cast and who he was thinking about and who then initially was on board when the casting was all said and done, the cast is so much fun. I just could not wait to get into rehearsals with these people. I'm just blown away by who he always tends to draw and who is becoming gradual fans of his as they see productions that he puts on, because he does such quality work, and people are climbing on board. I mean, they're fighting to get on board. We had huge turnout for auditions.
Ah.
And
good
that's
to have
nice
choices.
To hear. But I think a lot of it is that, too, is I love to cast people that you wouldn't see in a role in an ordinary situation.
Such as, give me an example.
Well, when Claire and I worked together last summer in Cabaret, mm-hmm. she was probably not a natural cast for that role. And this one, when you look at what's her name? I don't remember the beautiful woman.
The Lady of the Lake?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Sarah Ramirez. So,
yes. You know, this big, busty, beautiful, you know, Hispanic. And so I think that's nice. But Claire's better. I mean, she can sing the part and she's funnier. And we've got other people, you know, that you know, Craig, Underwood is going to be so hilarious as Prince Herbert. And I think it's great to see roles that you're used to and they want to be familiar, but it's also fun to go, oh my God, look who's playing that.
Yeah, right. Let's cast against type.
Mm-hmm. And it's surprise, you know, and sometimes when you go, you just want to see what you're used to seeing. But, you know, not for me.
Somehow that calls to mind an old Monty Python sketch about how to defend yourself with a banana, because the element mm-hmm. of surprise is part of it. But
if that
doesn't mean anything to you listeners, go on YouTube.
We could call it Nana from now. We could call it Banana.
Banana.
Sounds good.
But we got one.
I want to hear about Lady of the Lake. Tell me about your lovely, beautiful, unexpected character.
Well, she is just the biggest, brassiest lady with no qualms about who she is. And that's what makes it fun, is it's so unabashedly, we smack people over the face with how diva-esque she is, and there's no shying away from how comedic and how character-driven this woman is. And honestly, she's such a great part because she has no dance numbers.
None.
She has very little dialogue. I'm talking like one page. And I don't even have a script.
She's
I don't have a script at this point.
And she's the only woman in the show.
Yeah, right. Besides the Laker girls who back her up and are kind of the every woman, every lady else in the show. But she gets to show up, sing fantastic songs, and then say, okay, bye. And then show up, you know.
Now to
yes.
She is so vain.
Oh, yeah.
And so in love with herself and what she's doing, you know, that she's untouchable. And she's great. And she's all over Arthur. I mean, he's completely a goof, you know, by comparison. She's great, and Claire's perfect for her. She's got all the ammunition, you know, that this woman has.
I'm excited. It's going to be really fun.
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite song is probably, I really like Knights of the Round Table. I like that whole big number, because it is everyone it together, and then I get to do a little funny kind of Vegas number in the middle there, which is kind of a lounge singer-esque song, which is going to be fun.
The Knights go to Camelot.
Yes.
But Camelot is pretty much patterned after Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Even it starts out with, you know, what happens in Camelot stays in Camelot. So it's great that Claire gets to do this amazing sort of, you know, Edie Gourmet turn, you know, as this down on her like kind of, you know, Las Vegas diva. And it's just, it's great. It's terrific. It's funny.
Yeah. I also am a big fan of the song that goes like this, which I get to sing with Pete Scarborough, who's playing Sir Galahad, and he's got this great, big, huge, booming, soaring voice. And it's not often that we get to really just let go and sing with all that we have, and it's fun to be able to just go to town. So that's going to be a good one, too.
And you know, with something that you said, Sharon, earlier, what's really becoming fun, I think, with this cast is that they're people who ordinarily would not get to play with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. You do
new
have
chemistry.
The people who are used to at the Phoenix, you know, sort of maybe three or four shows out of the year, mm-hmm. and people who are always at IRT or whatever. I think they're discovering what fun they watch each other. They go to see each other's shows,
sure.
and marvel at how good they are, but how much fun it is to be able to play with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just amazing to watch. You know, Chuck Goad, who is, you know, one of our premier, if not, you know, most premier actor in town, who's playing this goof King Arthur. It's
letting
a treat.
His inner comedian out.
It's a complete
yeah.
treat to watch. You know, Ben Asakwe, who has his own group,
right?
You know, is the perfect Sir Robin. It's so great to watch these people together.
Tell us about Patsy.
Patsy Cline, oh God, she died in an airplane accident.
No,
it was
Bob,
terrible. No.
Stop that. Goof.
Paul Hanson is playing Patsy, who got all, you know, wonderful accolades last year for his work at Civic. Patsy is a wonder. Well, we don't want to tell a surprise. He does have a surprise.
Yeah,
but
don't tell us too much.
No, but he is Arthur's right hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just there for everything that he does. And of course, he's the one who makes the sound for Arthur's horse, or they wouldn't be able to travel anywhere. And Paul's got a wonderful voice, and funny and silly. It's a good part.
It always surprises me how many people, even if they haven't seen The Holy Grail or they haven't seen a whole lot of Monty Python, they know those kind of iconic pop culture references, like the sound of the horse and the French guard, you know.
French taunter.
Yes, and they kind of know those quotes, or they know the image of King Arthur and Patsy like galloping behind him. And that's what I think is going to be so fun about this, is because even if people aren't super familiar with Monty Python, they're going to watch it and go, that's that. Oh, yeah.
That's where that comes from.
Now they get some context.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up watching The Holy Grail, though, with my brother, and we watched it all the time.
We should talk to your parents sometime.
They would be more than happy.
It's okay. I was raised on Benny Hill, so it's,
this explains so much.
Anytime I have the opportunity to do a bit, I'll ask Bob at rehearsal, oh, is this where we do the, can I do a bit here?
Do a bit.
Okay. Unlimited bits.
Do that bit. I could do that bit in 3 notes.
I could do that bit in 2.
I can do any bit better than you can.
Exactly.
Sharon Gamble with Bob Harbin and Claire Wilcher. See Bob Directs production of the 2005 multi-Tony Award-winning musical Spamalot from June 14th through the 29th at the Athenaeum Theater. You can learn more at bobdirects.com. That's Bob, then D-I-R-E-X.com, bobdirects.com. Oh, and the Athenaeum has a full bar enabling you to do a silly walk on your way to the theater if you're not dead yet.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon?
I know that you are such a veteran of the Broad Ripple Art Fair that you always go to it with some plan of attack. What will you do first?
I'll get a Miss Piggy's boneless beef sandwich to provide nourishment so that I can get through all the wonderful art booths.
Protein.
Yes, yes. You need the protein to start off with, and you can't beat a good Miss Piggy's. And then from there, I can't wait to see just all the artists that are there.
Fantastic. Well, we'll tell you, you'll learn a lot more about the Broad Ripple Art Fair later in today's show, but we'll tell you some other things you can do and see in the arts on our calendar we call
What Do We Do? That's right. And not all food related either.
What? No, I'm hungry.
So the Phoenix Theater has a really interesting play that they're running right now, 4,000 Miles. It's an Obie Award winner by Amy Herzog, and it's about a guy who takes up a cross-country bike trip, and especially this time of year when we're all getting on our bikes and getting our bikes out and getting down on the trail and everyone's thinking about biking.
Bicycle to work day.
Yeah, bicycle
Friday.
To work day, exactly. It seems like kind of an appropriate time to check out a play about bicycle riding, and a whole lot more than that, and that is going on at the Phoenix Theater right now.
Indeed. Also about mothers. So it was appropriated open on Mother's Day weekend. Love it. Hey, the final film in the winter and early spring vintage movie night series at Garfield Park. This is the murder mystery series that Eric Grayson has curated. The final film is this Saturday at 8 p.m. It's called House of Mystery. It's a 1934 movie starring people you probably have never heard of, but go check it out. Ed Lowery and Verna Hilly star. It's a mystery with a little comedy thrown in. There's an old dark mansion that holds an ancient secret and a killer ape.
Ooh.
Refreshments are available. It's just $4 at the door. The runtime's 62 minutes, so just a fun little crazy thing to do on Saturday night at the Garfield Park Arts Center.
Very cool. Hey, you know, the Ai Weiwei exhibit is absolutely amazing, I think, at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. One of the things, though, Ai Weiwei's work is so conceptual that it really does help to have some sort of background on who he is and what he's done and why he does his work. And, I think one of the best ways to get that background is through the documentary called Ai Weiwei Never Sorry. And that had aired on PBS a bit during the winter and into the spring. But this weekend, they're actually showing it at the IMA Friday night at 6:30, as well as Saturday at 2 p.m. And they're showing it in the Toby. And if you go to that, you can watch the documentary and then also go to the exhibit, and you get a discount then on your ticket to the exhibit of the Ai Weiwei show. So definitely worth checking out. If you haven't seen it yet, this is a great way to do it. Go check out the film Friday at 6:30 or Saturday at 2, and then see the exhibit afterwards.
Excellent. And you'll hear more about that on an upcoming Art of the Matter on television.
That's right.
Our sister station.
Very cool.
Yay. Hey, Travis, I'm going to need some help with something here. I have two things related to Indie Reads. The first starts on June 1st from 6 to 9, and it's Trade School. Trade
yes.
School Indie.
Mm-hmm. A really cool organization.
It's about barter-based learning?
Exactly.
Explain more about that.
What they do, Trade School Indie is a group of people who all know certain things, and they want to teach other people those things. And it could be everything from yoga and massage to knitting to who knows what else. And it's all sort of done in a trade sort of way. Like if you know something, you can teach a class.
I can teach you how to knit. You can teach me how to
program your
bait.
Bait a hook for fishing.
For fishing.
Sure, that could be something like
okay.
that. So they've been doing a lot of their organized classes at Indie Reads Books.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love that. That's very cool. And while you're there, you might just need to pick up some books.
There you go.
I mean, you always need books, right? And speaking of Indie Reads Books, our listeners, some of them braved the cool weather. It came out
last week for a live broadcast.
Get Down on It from the Cultural Trail. Thanks for listening or coming out or both. There's another fun way coming up to enjoy Mass Ave, the Mass Ave part of the trail, I should say, and that is Scavenge the Avenue, which
yes.
is a fundraiser for Indie Reads. It's on June 12th, 6 to 8. You need to start gathering your team today, and if you're not familiar, it's just a great opportunity to go in and out of the restaurants, bars, retail establishments, and check things out all along Mass Ave. And you can find out more at IndieReads.org.
And you can win fabulous prizes when you participate
Scavenge
the Ave. Yeah.
The opportunity to have Travis teach you how to tie a fly.
That
for
may
fishing.
Be one of them. We'll see.
Or maybe Sharon will teach you basic
most
knitting
stitches. Businesses
up
and down Mass Ave participate.
Got
and,
it.
Yes, provide great things. Hey, I just wanted to give a shout out of some actually great news, I think, that came out of the most recent legislative session. Not many people say that, but here it is. And this is a headline that hasn't made the headlines, and I think we need to celebrate this. And that is that last week, Governor Pence signed Indiana's new year budget, which included a funding increase for the Indiana Arts Commission. This is the first time there has been an increase and not a cut since 2007 for the Indiana Arts Commission.
I see people doing happy dances all around the state.
Now, it's not a lot, but it's an increase.
It's an increase. And in this economy, that is terrific news.
Yeah, that really is. And you can actually find out more about what that increase means and how it's going to be used if you visit the Indiana Arts Coalition website at inartscoalition.org for more information about that. But that's just
you
great
You can find
news.
Out how to say thank you, too.
You can find out how to say thank you. That's
yeah.
a very good thing.
Yeah. Hey, it's almost time for summer road trips. Here's something you might want to look at your calendar and see if you're available for. Saturday, July 27th in Bloomington, it's Uncork the Uplands. This is the third annual event. Guess what? It's a wine
That's
tasting.
A great
I bet
title.
You sussed that out, didn't you? You get the chance to sample award-winning wines from the 9 wineries on the Uplands Wine Trail. They're paired with food from area restaurants and farms. And there are all sorts of fun events, and you can find out more at IndianaUplands.com, IndianaUplands.com. Again, the event, the Uncork the Uplands event, is Saturday, July 27th, so a little bit of planning time, but put it on your calendar now and make some plans to taste some great Indiana wines.
There you go. Hey, and if this isn't already on your schedule, I don't know why not, because the Naptown Roller Girls are having a big competition this Saturday night, May 18th, including their sort of minor league teams. They got the tornado sirens and the warning bells, and they're going to be bouting it out at the Indiana Convention Center for the NRG 500. The doors open at 5:30. Bouts start at 6 a.m. and go into the evening. It is going to be a lot of fun. And partial proceeds from the bout go to the Indiana Chapter of Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Oh, that's a nice thing. Fantastic. Good partnership there. Hey, the Columbus area... Columbus. Newtown, I just invented. Columbus Area Visitor Center wants to invite you to hear the so-called Guru of Cool on May 24th. There's a free workshop. It's free and open to the public. And it is a workshop with Daniel Levine, a trends marketing visionary and leader of a global team of so-called trend hunters. Thousands of spotters who search the globe for the latest products, ideas, and experiences. Levine is executive director of the Avant Guide Institute and publisher of wikitrend.org. I know he's also pretty clever, isn't he? He's been called the ultimate guru of cool by CNN. And what he does is, in addition to having those great titles, is he helps companies, destinations, and travel-related brands understand how to embrace trends to attract visitors and boost revenue. So if you're involved as a board member, a volunteer, or a staff member, or you're just interested in hearing this guy, the workshop free, open to the public on May 24th, and you can visit the Columbus Area Visitor Center on the web to find out more.
Okay, and last thing, Sharon, just a reminder, Dan's Kaleidoscope's Barefoot Renegades is taking place this weekend through Sunday at the IRT, and some great dance pieces from David Hochoy, as well as some guest choreographers.
Shoes off to them.
Oh, aren't you clever? Hey, we'll be back next week with more on the calendar we call.
What do we do?
And now for something completely different. We're actually going to listen to a couple tracks from the CD, Katie Bar the Door. It's the new CD from the original bluegrass group, Diamond Hill Station. About 2 weeks on Art of the Matter, I've got an interview with David Bagdade, who is one of the musicians with the group, playing mandolin as well as being a vocalist. But we're going to take a listen right now to a couple of the songs, including the We Can Just Pretend. And then right after that, we're going to take a listen to another one titled Somebody Else's Problem. These are both from the group Diamond Hill Station, from their CD, Katie Bar the Door. Enjoy.
When we first met, you were my pride. Now you seem to want to run and hide. I don't know how things got so rough. Seems like for you, I'm not enough. You know my love for you is true. I'd do anything for you. Please don't say this is the end. If this ain't love, we can just pretend. It seems you're hungry. Silent stone, I was not meant to be alone. If you could see how my heart bleeds, I know you'd give me what I need. You know my love for you's the best. It could withstand most any test. Please don't say this is the end. If this ain't love, we can just pretend.
Mostly what I feel is relief. 'cause now you're somebody else's problem. I guess we'll see how long you want him, what your one-man spirit will allow. Someone new stepped up to claim you, now we'll see if he can tame you. You're somebody else's problem now. You'll spend a fortune to commemorate your day. I was never really one for big weddings anyway. Someone else can foot the bill for what you have in mind and pay it off once you've left him behind. 'Cause now you're somebody else's problem. I guess we'll see how long you want him, what your wandering spirit will allow. Someone new stepped up to claim you, now we'll see if he can tame you. You're somebody else's problem now. Shake his hand and tell him that he's such a lucky guy. Before you even notice me, I'd be out the door, leaving you to your forevermore. 'Cause now you're somebody else's problem. I guess we'll see how long you want him, what your wandering spirit will allow. Someone new stepped up to claim you, now we'll see if he can tame you. You're somebody else's problem now. Someone else can try to please you till the day that he'll release you. You're somebody else's problem now.
And you just heard two tracks from the original bluegrass group Diamond Hill Station from their new CD Katie Bar the Door. The first one we heard was We Can Just Pretend, and then the second one you just heard was Somebody Else's Problem, both written by David Bagdade, who is going to be on Art of the Matter in about 2 weeks talking about the group and the new CD.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
The Fifth Third Bank Broad Ripple Art Fair at the Indianapolis Art Center is Indy's kickoff to the summer festival season. Now in its 43rd year, the fair showcases more than 225 artists and features booths from local cultural organizations, also a children's creative area, gourmet food courts, a beer and wine garden, and live entertainment on four stages. Travis DiNicola spoke with the Art Center's Ben Schein to find out more about this weekend's event.
Ben, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
Thanks for having us, Travis.
You bet. So here we are. How many is this? What, 44th?
It's the 43rd.
43rd. Broad Ripple Art Fair. I'm rushing it. So here it comes again. It's always the best way to kick off the summer. It really is sort of the major art event that kicks off each and every summer. And it's always so much fun and a great benefit for the Art Center, of course. What can we expect this year at the Fifth Third Bank Broad Ripple Art Fair?
Well, people can come and expect what they've expected for the last 42 years, which is high-quality art experience, a lot of fun, music and food, and just a whole lot of summer activities.
So what? Let's start with the artists, because I know that there's something like 230 different artist vendors.
There are.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about the process.
Well, the process is pretty strict for us. We have a jury of four arts professionals we choose every year. Mm-hmm. We get about 800 applicants for the booths, and we go
That's
through
amazing.
A full jurying process. So for one day this spring, I got to watch the jury look at slides from over 800 artists and pick out 230 of them to be this year in every medium.
Wow. And from all over the country.
And from all over the country and Canada.
Cool. Now, is there a special credit or extra credit or whatever consideration given to artists either who are local or who've participated in the past, or how does that work?
No, everyone juries in just the same. It's a blind jury, so our jurors don't know who is the artist behind all the slides that they see.
Oh, cool. Okay. But, interesting. Neat. So, of course, always great artists that represented there, and lots of great performing arts as well. Four stages this year with tons of live music. Tell me about that.
Well, we're trying to bring the music back at the Broadpole Art Fair this year. So we're doing things a little differently this year. We're partnering with a local production company called Do 317. Mm-hmm. They're kind of local, cool folks.
Yeah.
And they've booked 2 days of really awesome music, including local indie legends, the United States 3, to close down Saturday's festivities.
Wow.
Sunday, we're going to be closing down with the local band Pravada, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
They've got an up-and-coming band from Cincinnati called Young Heirlooms, which is kind of a bluegrass indie rock hybrid.
Okay. Cool. And then you've also got Kids Stage.
We have the WFYI Kids Stage.
WFYI, what do you know?
Featuring one of my favorite kids artists in town, and maybe one of the best ever in Rudy Tunes.
Oh, he's a lot of fun.
He's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So there's pretty much live music going on in the four stages all day, both days. The festival does go Saturday and Sunday, May 18th and 19th. What's the time for that?
The time that on Saturday, the fair opens at 10 and closes at 6. On Sunday, the fair opens at 10 and closes at 5.
Okay. So keeping you busy all day long, lots of great stuff. Of course, there's also tons of activities that go on that are connected to the Arts Center, a lot of demos, hands-on type of stuff. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, we want to show people, we want to use the fair to show people what we do every day at the Arts Center. So if you go into any one of our studios during the art fair, you can see some of the things that we do every day. If you want to go into our ceramics studio, people will be able to learn how to spin a little pot and take it home with them. If you go into our sculpture studio, people will be able to pour molten aluminum into a cast and then able to take that home with them. And the same goes in our wood studios. Our glass studios will have demos all day long.
Those are always very
cool
to
watch. Those are always fun.
They get a little warm, but they're very cool to watch.
But it's really neat to see people turn flaming molten balls of lava into beautiful glass pieces.
Nice. And then lots of food. Lots and lots of food.
Lots of food. We have 30 vendors this year for food. And, you know, local favorites like the Jazz Kitchen is bringing their food. Mm-hmm. The Broadpole Brew Pub.
Miss Piggy's is coming back?
I think so.
Yeah, they do, I think, the absolute best barbecue pork. It's like a boneless sandwich. Oh, it's so good. So good. So, yeah, always look forward to that.
Well, I'll look for that one this year.
Lots of great food and stuff. Anything sort of different or special that you guys are mixing it up with this year? Or?
No, I think one of the things about this art fair is that it's consistently good every year.
Mm-hmm.
Why change what's not broken for
exactly.
us?
Exactly. And it is a fundraiser for the Indianapolis Arts Center.
Right. It is our largest fundraiser every year, and it helps us support our programs of getting people to take high-quality art education classes, to be able to come see dynamic art exhibitions in all of our exhibition galleries, but also to fund our outreach program where we take high-quality art education out to underserved communities.
And the fair is a great time, too, to just check out the building. It's a gorgeous building. It's a great space. I mean, along with the fact that, you know, you've got clean restrooms in there, you know, which is always helpful during the fair. But, you know, also the galleries are open. As you mentioned, the studios are open. And it's really important, I think, for people to, you know, if you're out there at the Broadpole Art Fair, connect to the building itself. I mean, that's what it's all supporting.
It is one of our biggest assets. And normally we like to talk about how amazing our arts park is behind our building.
Sure.
But it's going to be hard to see a lot of it because it's going to be filled with over 20,000 people.
Yeah, it's a little covered up.
Right.
But
you
but
will
it's
be
still,
able to see
space.
The sculptures we have out there, and you'll be able to, you know, get a reason to come back when the weather's nice.
Very cool. Very cool. So what are you looking forward to the most, Ben?
I'm looking forward to this year riding my bike up the Monon and going in off the parking my bike for free in the bike corral. And not having to drive in the mass of people that are the Broadpole Art Fair.
That's a great way to do it, right? I mean, and that's open for anyone that wants to, you know, come there and park their bike in the bike corral, which is guarded, it's safe, so, you know, you don't have to worry about that. And then you don't have to deal with all the parking and stuff.
Right.
You guys also do shuttle buses?
We do. We have a shuttle bus running from what used to be called the Glendale Mall area I don't know what that's called anymore. Mm-hmm. But also, we have a VIP shuttle bus running from the AT&T spot at Kessler and College.
Okay, very good, very good. So those are all good places where people can park and take the shuttle or try their hand at parking within the Broad Ripple neighborhood.
Well, that's a little better now that that parking garage is open.
Yeah,
so people
that's
can
true.
Actually park in the parking garage and just walk 6 blocks up the street and be right into the art fair.
Well, there you go then. How excellent is that?
It all came together just in time. We really like to feel like they finished the project
just
in
you
time
guys.
For the fair.
Just for you guys. Now, anything else you want to talk about in terms of course, the Broad Ripple Art Fair is really the biggest event that the Indianapolis Arts Center offers during the summer and kicking off the summer. But you guys have stuff going on year-round, of course, classes and other events and mm-hmm. things.
We do. We have classes going on. Our summer semester is going to start 1st of June,
okay.
You know, where we offer high-quality art education in every medium, whether you want to learn how to do glass blowing, to learn how to do ceramics or paint or draw, we've got it for you. We also have really amazing fine arts camps that we have mm-hmm. for kids and youths. And so we have, you know, our fine arts day camps are a sampler for kids, you know, ages 2 and up. And this year, for the first time ever, we're offering an architecture camp for high school students.
Wow, that's cool.
It's really cool. We've partnered with some local architects and designers in town to come up with a one-week program
okay.
to give high school kids a taste of what it would really like to do, be like to do a project as an architect. So hopefully,
yeah.
you know, maybe inspire some passion, maybe get
that's
some,
pretty
the
neat.
Next future architect could be from Indiana.
Very cool. And these are all, of course, summer day camps
right.
At the Arts Center. Great. That's a very neat program.
It's
love
really
to hear
good.
How that turns out for you guys. Very good. And, of course, you can get all the information you want for all the programs that the Indianapolis Arts Center offers at your website, IndianapolisArtsCenter.org or IndPLSArtsCenter.org.
Say it fast 3 times.
There you go. Indianapolis. It's just like that, right?
Just like that.
Ben, thanks so much for coming into Art of the Matter Day. Always great to see you. And best of luck with the Broad Ripple Art Fair.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks for having us. See everybody on the 18th and 19th.
Travis DiNicola with Ben Schein from the Indianapolis Art Center. The Broad Ripple Art Fair takes place this Saturday and Sunday all day at the Art Center. For more information, visit them online at IndianapolisArtsCenter.org, IndPLSArtsCenter.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. I'll get a preview of this year's Idlejork Market.
I'll find out how Beef and Boards is celebrating their 40th anniversary.
And I'll talk with writer Brian Furness about his new novel, The Lost Episodes of Revy Bryson. Plus, we'll have our calendar of events we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.